for quite some time, Psalm 51, and today we're going to wrap that thing up. So let's look at this verse, this psalm once again. Notice what it says. We're going to read the whole thing. It says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." Now, this is going to be the final lesson on Psalm 51, and we're going to title it, "When God is Pleased." When God is pleased. Notice what it says in verse 19 once again. "Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon the what? Thine altar." Now, you may ask, is it really possible that one can be pleasing to God? Is it? Sure it is. Can you mention anybody in the Bible who pleased the Lord? Who? Job. Who else? Abraham. Where does it say that Abraham pleased God? Where does it say Noah pleased God? Is there anybody in the Bible that is mentioned specifically that he pleased God? How about this little-known Old Testament character? Has about 7, maybe 8 verses written about him throughout the Word of God, and he happens to go by the name of Enoch. Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5 and 6. Now, I don't know about those other guys, but I do know about Enoch. And notice what it says about Enoch. It says, by faith. Isn't that? If you know you're going to please God, you got to live, what? By faith. That means you need to trust him. That means you need to obey him. That means you need to claim the promises of God. And notice what it says, by faith, what? Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. Notice what it says. He, what? Pleased God. But without what? Faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now here you got a guy in the Old Testament, and yet the Bible says that he pleased God. Now you think about Enoch. Enoch didn't even have the scriptures that we have. He didn't have a portion of the scriptures. All he really had was what was handed down to him from his predecessors. And yet he took whatever they taught him and the truth, and he applied that truth, and he was what? Pleasing to God. You know, we have the whole Word of God, do we not? We got more, and by the way, the Word of God is the source of our faith, is it not? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Yet so many of us, I don't think we live lives that are pleasing to God, because you know what? We pick and choose what we want to do. Well, I like that, but you know, I don't care for that. But oh, that's a good one, but you know what? I don't care for that. And you know, if we're going to live by faith, you know what? We need to trust God in every situation and in everything we do. We need to base our lives upon the sure foundation of God's holy word. And here in Psalm 51, we find some things, we find a truth on how to please God. Now, David concludes this psalm when he says in verse 19, "Then shalt thou be pleased." In other words, there is something that I can now do to please God. Now, David had displeased the Lord, did he not? You know, you read about David. He was in a place where he should not have been. The kings were supposed to go forth to battle, and David says, you know what? I'm going to take a little R&R. I'm going to go back to Jerusalem. I'm going to rest. I'll let Joab and the army take care of Reba, and I'm just going to come home for a bit. Now, if you're not where you're supposed to be, you can be in trouble. And you know, I would venture to say more Christians find themselves in places of trouble when they ain't got nothing to do, when they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And so David, what? He happens to take a gander over Jerusalem. Maybe he's looking and say, man, you know what? I can't believe that I'm king over this nation. And then he spots Bathsheba bathing herself. Now, Bathsheba had no, that's not her problem. The problem lied with David, okay? And eventually he calls her home to his house, and they have an illicit affair. She ends up being pregnant. And so David now, he's like, what am I going to do? He calls Uriah off the battlefield, correct? And then he says, you know what, why don't you go down to your house? He sends a nice, luscious meal and says, you and your wife have a private dinner. And he says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be one of those soldiers who are, you know, when I got Joab and the army, they're out in the fields, and you want me to pamper myself. I'm not willing to do that. And so David then gets him drunk, and he still doesn't go down to his house. And so what happens? He gives a death sentence. He writes a letter, puts it in Uriah's hand, and he goes back to the battlefield, gives that letter to Joab. Now, can you imagine what would have happened if Uriah, he was so loyal to the king, but if he would have opened up that letter and read that on the way to the battlefield, how disappointed and how much his heart must have been broken that the king thought so little of him. And so what happens? He goes into the battle. Joab pulls back the army. He's left there. He's the target, and he gets killed. And David's thinking, wow, now I got this thing covered up, right? And so after the days of mourning, he takes Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, to be his own wife. Now, this is amazing when you think about it, because David was a man after God's own heart. David was the sweet psalmist of Israel. And notice what it says after what took place with Uriah in the first part of 2 Samuel 11:27. It says, and when the mourning was past, that speaks of the mourning of Bathsheba, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. Now, since Uriah had been killed and Bathsheba's period of mourning was concluded, David now brings her to himself. Now, God declared in his word what he thought about David's sin. And that verse concludes this way. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. You know, ask yourself, just this past week, is there something that you've done to displease the Lord? Is there a possibility you did something without faith, without trust in Him, and you displeased Him? You know, those are things we need to think about. Those are things we need to confess. You see, none of us should want to live in a manner that displeases the Lord. Now, in God's final analysis of David's behavior, he said, David, I'm not pleased with what you have done. When David prayed his final petition of the prayer in the 51st Psalm, he says, then shalt thou be pleased. Now, David had now come to his life. He understood, and his sin was pointed out. He's asking God to, he confesses that sin, asking God to cleanse him, asking God to give him a pure heart, and he comes to the place now where he says, you know what? I can still please the Lord. You know, it's not all over. Every one of us will blow it and have blown it and have done so several times. But that doesn't mean we should just give up and not try to please the Lord anymore. We can confess those sins. We can get a fresh start, and we can please the Lord once again. Amen, hallelujah, glory to God. Does not the Bible say a just man falleth seven times and riseth again? Sure he does. And I would guarantee if he lives long enough, it's going to be more than seven times. Well, David is now making this matter of pleasing the Lord a priority. A priority. What's your priority? Is it making money? Is it getting an education? Is it advancing your career? What's your number one priority? Is it your family? Now, some of those things, they're all right, aren't they? Practically all of them are all right. But that shouldn't be your priority. Your priority should be that you live so to please the Lord. Amen? Now, I want you to know that we were created to please Him. Notice what it says in Romans, Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. I'm stuck on Romans this morning. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Now remember, God wrote this book, and notice what he says in verse 11. Now, here we see that they're praising the Lord here. And the 24 elders fall down before Jesus, and they say this, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Now, he's worthy of that, is he not? For thou hast created all things. How many things? All things. And then notice the next phrase. And for thy what? And for thy what? Whose pleasure? Christ's, right? He's the creator, is he not? For thy pleasure they are and were created. Now think of that. You were created for a purpose. And that purpose is to please the Lord. But ask yourself, is that what I'm living for? You know, some live to please their spouse. Some live to please their neighbors or please their children. Some live to please some fellow human being. But what's our purpose? Our purpose is to please who? And that is the Lord as He created us. Is it not? Now, have you ever noticed if you're not living for what you're created for, you're not happy? For instance, you know, think about a fish. Now, a fish is awful happy in the water, isn't he? He just swims around, he's smiling, you know, he's thrilled, is he not? But you know what? You hook that fish, you bring him on land, and he's no longer happy. He's struggling, isn't he? And same thing with other animals. You know, you get a cat, right? Now, they're happy when they're just making everybody else miserable. But you take that cat and you put it underwater.
It becomes a fish.
Now, is the cat happy underwater? No. But there's people that are happy that he's underwater. But here's what I'm getting at. You know what? Sometimes you got people. You ever notice people how unhappy they are? You know, sometimes you got a marriage and you look at the people that are married and they're unhappy. You say, why would they be unhappy? I thought, you know, their wedding day was the happiest day of their life. I don't know. Maybe it was. But you know why they're not happy? They're not fulfilling the role God intended them to fulfill. You know, if the man is, you know, he doesn't have a spine anymore, and he bought into the philosophy, happy life, happy wife. And I'm not saying you shouldn't make your wife happy, but she has no right to rule over you. Right? Why can't you be a happy husband fulfilling your God-given role, and why can't she be a happy wife being submissive to you? You know, did God create man to be the head of the home?
Yes.
Now, I didn't write that. You say, oh, preacher, you're just a male chauvinist pig. No, I'm not a male chauvinist. I'm just a pig. But you ever notice an overbearing wife and a submissive husband, they're not happy people, are they? You go, why is that? Well, it's because they weren't created that way. You know, it's kind of like you ever, you know, these people call themselves gay. You know, you call them other things, I'm sure, but I, you know, they're sodomites. But do you ever notice how happy they are? They're not. You know why? God didn't create man to be with a man or a woman to be with a woman. And they're not going to be happy. You need to be what God created you for, and you need to please Him. That's what will make you happy. Some of you look miserable this morning. And you look miserable before I started Sunday school. Here's your problem. You were created to please Him, not yourself, not anybody else. But if you live to please Him, you can, you know, have a happy life. We are created to please Him. God said in His Word that the reason He made the whole world and the reason He made everyone in it is so that we would what? Please Him. We were created to please the Lord. Notice what the Lord Jesus said about Himself in John 8:29. You know, when I was a, you know what, if I would like to live like that. And notice what He says. And He that sent me is with me, speaking of the Father. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. Always. Not just every once in a while. Now, that should be our desire. You know, people talk about they want to be like Jesus, right? But they don't always do the things that He says. They don't operate by faith. And so, therefore, they're not what? Pleasing to the Lord. We should live so as to please the Lord. Our desire should always be to please Him. Now, the battle is very simple. We're going to please somebody.
Right.
Most people today live to please themselves. And that's why you don't see them very happy. You just don't. Now, I like that little thing of joy, you know, that little acronym. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. That's how you get joy. But you need to live to please the Lord. Now, notice what Paul said when he wrote to the churches in Galatia. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Now, this is what Paul wrote. Now, how many believe Paul was a pretty good godly man? All right? Yeah, he's probably the best Christian in the New Testament era. I believe that. Now, you may find somebody else, and that's okay, but I believe Paul was the best New Testament Christian from the Jump Street till now. It says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." So how many think Paul is getting his priorities in order here? He says, I'm not living to please men. I don't care who they are. I'm living to please the Lord. You know, we battle in that matter all the time, do we not? You got to ask yourself, who am I seeking to please? And it ought to be God. You see, when we please Him, we fulfill the reason we were created for. Then, trust in the Lord is what pleases Him. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, and this is in conjunction with this man named Enoch, it says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, faith is trust in the Lord, is it not? It is simply taking God at His word and acting upon it. Correct? The Bible says without trust in the Lord, however, it's impossible to please Him. You know, so many people have this idea in their own human mind that they can do some things outside the Scriptures that are going to please God. They do! And it's sad, isn't it? Because they're not operating by faith. And if one is going to please God, they need to walk by faith and live by faith. Faith is described in Hebrews 11:1 as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, faith is defined as looking unto Jesus. We were created, folks, to please the Lord. You know, how many remember your life prior to getting saved? All right? Now, how many remember you lived for yourself? Right? Yeah, okay. Just about a handful. The rest of you were already living for the Lord before you were saved, right? Now, remember, there was pleasure in sin for what? A season. Then what happens? Then you became miserable, right? Now, you knew some temporary pleasures in sin, but the fact of the matter is it wasn't lasting. It was fleeting. And then you came to the Lord, right? And then you started living for Him. And you found really what, that was the best life you could live. You know, if you start walking by faith, living by faith, you know what? Jesus not only gave you life, meaning eternal life, but He gave you abundant life that could be yours if you start living for Him. And when you have abundant life, you're going to have that joy that He spoke about. Amen. Correct? Amen. You know, some of you may not know that, what I'm talking about, because you don't know what the abundant life is. You have just settled for life, eternal life. You're not willing to crucify yourself and live for the Lord like you ought to. That's where you get that joy. That's where you get that peace. It's by living to please Him. Now, just think about it. You know, our desire of our hearts ought to be to please the Lord. You know, if we don't please Him, we fail Him. We need to be looking unto Jesus. You know, so many of us rely on our own senses, our own human reasoning. And boy, do we make mistakes, don't we? We think we got it all figured out in our minds. Why don't we just trust the Lord? Why don't we just look to Him? Wouldn't that be a whole lot better? Now, if we were to stand before the Lord today, and he could come, right? His imminent return, that means it could happen at any time. And if we were caught up in the air and we stood at the judgment seat of Christ, do we really have to wonder if he loves us? No. However, we would have to wonder, did I live my life to please him? Would we not?
Yeah.
Sure. We need to be motivated in our Christian life by the right thing. Our one great desire is to please the Lord. If we do not trust him, we do not obey him, we're not pleasing to him. We must trust him and live a life that pleases him. So ask yourself, do you trust him? You know, here's the thing. We all trusted him for our soul, right? Not all. But if you're saved, you have, correct? You trusted him to take care of your soul, right? Do you trust him for anything else? Do you trust him concerning your family? No, wait a minute. I know you're all bobbing your head like a bobblehead. If you really trusted him with your family, then why do you worry and stress about him? Oh, all of a sudden that's not so trusting, is it? Do you trust him with your finances? Some of us don't even tithe. And yet the soul is the most valuable thing that we possess. Most valuable thing in all the world. And yet we can't trust him with our wallets or purses. Now, pray tell me how much sense that makes. Do we trust him to take care of our bills? Well, if you haven't spent foolishly, you ought to be able to. What about trusting him with your marriage? Some, boy, they got to check on their spouse every 5 minutes. Because they trust the Lord and he'll take care of it. Really? You know, I don't think that's very trusting. What are you up to? You know, some of you, if you left your phone at home and your spouse couldn't get a hold of you, boy, you'd be in for a terrible time when you got home because they can't keep up with you anymore. They put a tracker on you. That's horrible, isn't it? I wouldn't want to live like that. You know, marriage is supposed to be based on trust and respect, is it not? Sure doesn't sound like one of the parties is doing that. Do you trust him for your marriage? I mean, so much stuff we talk about. Yeah, I trust the Lord, but when we bring it down to the place where we live, do we really trust him? So often we put our trust more in man than we do the Lord. Do you trust him with your eternal soul? Or do you question whether he's going to keep you for all of eternity? The Bible says he gave us the gift of what? Eternal life. Do you really believe that? Or do you doubt it? Because if you're doubting it, you know what happens? You make God a liar. And you know what happens? You live in a life that's displeasing to him. Do you trust him? Do you trust him enough to obey him? Do you trust him enough to surrender your life to him? Or do you hold back? Well, I'm only willing to go so far, preacher. Because if I surrender my whole life to him, he'll probably make my life miserable. Yeah, that's what he wants. You're miserable not being surrendered now. So what you got to lose? How many think he knows what's best for you? How many think he only wants what's best for you? Then why can't we trust him? It's crazy, isn't it? Pleasing God is what's best for us. When David pleased the Lord, displeased the Lord, he got into trouble with Bathsheba. When David pleased the Lord, he was right with God. And David got, and God had David's best interests in mind. You know, suppose you're a father, right? And you have kids. Now, what would you think as a father if your kids came up to you every day and said, "Dad, you know, I'm concerned about what we're eating tomorrow. Are we going to have something for breakfast or not?"
Liver nuts.
Good night. That's not. And they said, "Dad, are we going to have a roof over our head tomorrow? Are you going to pay the mortgage? Are you going to pay the taxes? Are you going to pay the utilities, or is the light going to go out?" And every day they keep asking you. How many think that would be pleasing to the Father? You'd be miserable. Now, thank God I didn't have kids like that. They had a father that they could trust that would take care of them. But you know, we have a Father in heaven that's willing to take care of us. And yet we continue to go around fretting and worrying about everything. You know, why can't we just let, you know, well, here's the thing, I think, why we fret and worry. Because we can't claim Matthew 6:33. If we would seek what?
First.
Seek what?
First.
The kingdom of God and his what?
Righteousness.
Then all these things shall be added unto us. We know deep down in our hearts we ain't seeking first the kingdom of God, and we're not seeking his righteousness, and we can't claim that promise. That's why our lives are filled with anxious care and we don't trust God as we should. Do you hear that pin drop on that carpet, Earl? Why can't we trust him? You know, everybody has financial problems. Everybody has needs, right? Now, what do you do when those things come? Do you trust the Lord, or do you get on the phone asking somebody to bail you out? Do you go around crying poor mouth, hoping somebody's going to say, "Well, here, I'll help you out"? Or do you use that hotline to heaven and say, "God, you see the need that I have? God, do you know I need help right now?" Because if you do, he's not going to fail you. Now, sometimes you might answer in a way that you don't think he should answer. You know, when I was in Bible college, there were plenty of times we had a tight financial situation. And I would pray. I'd say, "God, you know what? I need some money." Now, you can ask Connie. We didn't get on the phone and be, "Oh, I could sure use some money." Now, believe me, I had two siblings that all I had to do was call and they would have gave me all kinds of money. They wouldn't even ask. Matter of fact, I could probably call a sibling today or two and say, "Hey, I need $100,000 and I would have it tomorrow. Because I trust them. But why would I do that when I got a God in heaven who's got more than they all have combined? And who's willing to give it to me freely.
Amen.
You know, I remember we'd be in a financial pinch and I'd be praying. We never let anybody know. How many here have known that we had financial needs here in this church and I brought it before the church and whined about it? I mean, I've been here 29 years. Do you think I ever had a financial problem? Yeah. Did I ever go running around whining and begging? Did I ever ask the church to bail me out? So how did that need get met? We prayed. We prayed. Now, Ask yourself, who are we trusting in? Are we trusting in the Lord or what man can do for us? Then ask yourself, is that how I react? Now, sometimes those answered prayers came in the form of like bib overalls. You say, what do you mean bib overalls? I got extra work. And I worked, and God provided the income we needed. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, I already put in 40 hours a week. Oh, God bless you. Boy, are you a laborer to be looked up to. Earl, when's the last? Well, you ain't had business for a while, but most of the... you're wrenching for a lot longer than that most weeks. But that's how it works. Sometimes, you know what? We get people give us money. You know, that is a principle in the Bible. Give and it shall be given unto you, right? And so that happens. People have met the need before. And by the way, they never knew we had the need. Oh, please help. No, they never knew. There was a time when we needed $50. 50 bucks. There was no way I could make it. I wasn't getting a raise, and I didn't get any overtime, and it was $50 a month. And I'm like, man, I told Connie. She's the only one I ever tell. And so she says, well, you know what? If it's 50 bucks, let's just stop tithing. Let's stop giving to missions. No, we trust God for more than that. But that's how some of you folks are. Right? Oh, okay. So, I said, let's pray. And we prayed. Third day, 3 days, two people called us up and said, you know, Lord laid you guys upon our hearts to support you $25 a month. Now, how much was that? 25 times 2 is 50. And what did we need? That's pretty good, isn't it? I'm just telling you. Now, how many think God was pleased with that? How many think God's pleased with you getting on the phone, whining and begging and trying to manipulate your way out of your financial mess? Huh? How many think you could trust God with your health and your health care? I do, sure. I mean, every aspect of our life, we ought to be what? Trust in the Lord, right? And does that not please Him? Does He not have our best interest in mind? Pleasing God is something we all can do. Every one of us. Someday we're going to stand on the threshold of eternity. And you know, perhaps before that we'll review our life before we go to meet Him. And then we're going to be ushered into His presence, right? Now, if you lived your life to please Him, don't you think you're going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? But if you don't, you're going to suffer loss. Now, think about this. It pleased the God of heaven to give us His Son, right? His Son died on a cross for the sin of the world, did He not? Was buried and rose again. Now, here's the thing. If God gave us His Son, why can't we trust Him to meet the rest of the needs we have? You know, if I'm willing to give you a son, you know what? If you need a pair of pants, I'll give you a pair of pants. If you need some money, I'll give you some money. I gave you my son! Isn't that what Romans chapter 8, I think it's around 30 says? 29 maybe? But you see, we don't trust Him. We trust Him for our soul's salvation, but we don't trust Him on a daily basis to meet the needs that we have. That's why some of us maintain those cares that we have. And we worry and we fret. That's always nice, isn't it? Don't you think we should pray? Maybe just leave it in God's hands? Trust Him to meet that care, that need we have? Sure, I think so. Hey, what's your priority? Who are you living to please? It ought to be the Lord. All right, we'll have some more in just a few minutes.